Well, praise God. You know, it's our last Sunday here, and you know, the Lord just put a word in my heart as we prepare for the outreach that's going to take place today and throughout the next week, and then also for the 22nd. How do we participate in what God's trying to do in the earth? And the word that came into my heart was simply brokers of hope. You and I, the Pearl Church, we are brokers, those that dispense and give out to meet a need, and that is hope. We are brokers of hope. The writer of Hebrews says this, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil." And he's talking not about an ideology or an understanding. He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ. What's happening in the book of Hebrews is we have Jewish believers, those that from a Jewish faith, the Old Testament and the laws and the rituals and the sacrifices, the priesthood that Christ is now fulfillment of, they came to know the Lord and they gave their heart to Jesus, but there was still a pressure on them to stay in the Old Testament, old laws, old ways. And they started to pull out and they walk in with Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is writing specifically because these Hebrew believers were being swayed to go back to their old ways. What was happening is Christianity was really being outlawed, and particularly with the Roman Empire that was ruling at that time. They would go in and they would take out Christians out of the homes, and there was great persecution taking place. And if you were a Christian in that Jewish community, you could lose your job, you could lose your place in society. And what was happening is these Jewish believers were saying, you know, maybe it's not worth being a Christian. You know, it's so hard, it's so difficult. And they're thinking about, you know, maybe going back. One passage in Hebrews says that they were shrinking back. They were pulling back. It's too difficult. And, you know, you think about you and I today, there is turmoil of, you know, that we see of the chaos of life, of sin and iniquity and wickedness. And we see the persecution that even comes in not only in foreign countries, but also here, that when you tell people you're a Christian, they go, "You're a what? How can you believe such a thing?" You know, and I'd sooner believe I came from a monkey than God created me, because ultimately I have to submit my life to God, but I can just fool around with the monkeys, right? I don't have to worry about that. And all of a sudden, people are being pressured in school, academic, but we're also seeing the undercurrents of different ideologies and different thoughts and different philosophies and different values and things that work against you and I as Christian believers, what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about righteousness. We believe the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments that are done out of love now, not out of duty, and all these things, and they press against us. And the writer of Hebrews says there's an anchor that in the tides and in the currents and in the winds and all these things that would blow a ship around, that would cause it to crash against the rocks of life and the depressions and the anxieties and all the things that cause people to wonder, how can I live this life with joy and happiness? And the author, writer of Hebrews, who is likely Paul, he says, hey, there's an anchor. There is an anchor of our soul. And our soul is that emotions, that thought life, the things of our passions and desires deep within inside of us that, I don't know about you, but I read about it and I know about it in my own life. There is such a pressure on every life today that has not been felt ever. People wake up with anxiety, stress. People wake up, kids, young age, marriages, homes, there's finances, there's politics, there is a governmental pressures. There's so many things that people wake up and it's almost they're waking up to stress. And there's remedies of drugs that are constantly being pressured out, not just the illegal drugs, all right, but just the pharmaceutical drugs. People are taking drugs now just to try to deal with life. And in that, the Lord says, there is an anchor for our soul. There is an anchor, it says, that's sure and steadfast, that if we'll get hold of that anchor, there's a hope in that anchor. And what is hope? Hope is that confident expectation of good, that life is good, that it's going to be good, that everything has a goodness to it. You talk to people on the street and you say, hey, are you feeling that there's confident expectation of good out there? Not likely. Because everything's attached, our hope's attached to what? Oil, finances, job, politics, which party is in there, which government is leading. How's your marriage? How's your home? What's it going to be like? You know, we put it all in the things and the events and the circumstances. And that's why hope gets, all of a sudden it's gone. I don't have hope. Man, I hope my marriage can handle it. I don't know if I've got the expectation. I hope I can have my job. I hope my finances. I hope my next generation's going to be okay. I don't know if I'm going to have anything to leave them. And people just have this hopelessness in their lives. But the writer of Hebrews says, in verse 18, just before it, it says, we can flee for refuge by laying hold of the hope set before us. There is a hope. Jesus Christ came into the earth, not just to bring salvation for eternity, but a hope for today. And he says, if we will grab hold of the hope, we can go through life tethered, hold fast in our homes, in our marriage, with our kids, that we don't care really. We care, but we don't. The political party doesn't dictate whether I have hope or not. The oil doesn't dictate if I have hope or not. Because I have a hope inside of me that's not about the happenings of life. It's about the person that's inside of me because I lay hold of the hope that is set before me. And because of that, it says that we can be sure and steadfast. We can be held with stability and enduring. We are not adrift. And I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that when all this stuff happens and I watch the TV, I go, it doesn't shake me. Writer of Acts, book of Acts says, we have a kingdom that can't be shaken. Why? Why can't it be shaken? Because Jesus is in control. He's over everything. He's sovereign. He's above. He's the Alpha and Omega. Everything, not only did He create it, He sustains it. He holds it up. So I don't have to worry about if Trump's in or Clinton's in. I don't have to worry about if it's NDP or if it's liberal. Well, maybe I do. No, seriously. All right. I don't have to worry about that in the basic sense of who I am. My hope rests not in any of that. My hope rests on Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the King of Kings. He's above all things, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lion and the Lamb. He's everything. And if I trust Him, I can go through life with that sureness and endurance that comes by having a hope. What is hope? You know, it says about hope that we can live about 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air on average, but only about 4 seconds without hope, because when there's no hope, you begin to die on the inside. All of a sudden, you shrivel. You withdraw. That anxiety, that depression, that suicide, all that stuff begins to overwhelm on the inside. But there is a hope that can keep us from moving forward. And the world today is dying from lack of hope. And that's where you and I become the brokers of hope. We got a world around us that's dying, but you and I have a hope that's not for us. It's to give away. When it looks at humanity in the Bible, one of the metaphors or symbols or descriptions is that talks about humanity being in darkness. Darkness is absence of light. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. John 1 tells us that Jesus came to light every man who's willing to receive that light. All right. Isaiah 9:2 says this. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. And Isaiah is prophesying to a future point, which is ultimately Christ. He says humanity is just sitting in darkness. Luke picks it up and says that they're sitting in darkness. You know, it's one thing to live in darkness. You're walking around. But now he says, now they're sitting. They've just given up so much hope. Humanity is in darkness. But, he says, those that sit in darkness will see a great light. Who's the great light? Well, that's Jesus. When He came, He brought a light for humanity. And with light comes the hope. And the answer to the hopeless of humanity ultimately is Jesus. John 1 verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So there tells us that the spiritual warfare that you and I are aware of, believers perhaps aren't, is that darkness is trying to overcome light. It can't overcome it. Darkness is the absence of light. Well, when light comes in, what happens? Darkness flees. Darkness cannot handle light. So that hope, that light, needs to get into humanity some way. Christ came, but you and I become the brokers. You and I are the dispensers. You and I need to be the ones that give that hope out to a dying land. I love what the Message says. It says, everything was created through him, nothing, not one thing came into being without him. Then it says, what came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. And then it says, the life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. When you get the light of Christ, no darkness can overcome it. The smallest of flicker of faith in any heart, darkness can't put it out. But we press into God and that light just gets brighter and brighter and brighter so that we have around us, as it were, the glory of God. And people go, what is it about you? How many of you ever had somebody come up and say, hey, why are you different than everybody else? It's just not because you're not swearing like everybody else, hopefully, but you're not just your words, it's your actions. It's something in you. How come you're not stressed out about everything? How come you're not worried about things? Why don't I hear you complaining? Well, because there's something inside of me that's different. And that thing that's different is the person of Jesus Christ. You and I are not just recipients, we're to be brokers. Recently, I had to get new insurance for my house and my car. So what do? You phone the insurance company. Well, nowadays, you don't just have an insurance representative of one company, you have a broker. He's a broker or has a number of companies that tries to fit the right insurance for your circumstances. So they'll ask you questions so that they can fit the right insurance plan, right? So they'll ask you things, start off with, are you male or female? Well, you can't lie about that, because if you lie about anything, if you get in an accident, you lose your coverage, right? So you got to tell them, male or female. You got to tell them your age. You got to tell him or her something about yourself, something about perhaps your finances, perhaps something about your driving record. Have you ever been in an accident before? Is this your first claim, your second claim, whatever it is? And you give them the list, because here's what they do with the coverage, which is your hope of insurance, right? Your hope of coverage. They'll say, well, if you're a young person and you're male, you'll be paying more than if you're female. If you're over 25, you'll pay less. If you're driving a Porsche versus a minivan, you'll be paying more, all right? If you've had more than one accident, then you're gonna be paying more than if you had no accidents, because you're a higher risk. You are somebody that's had at fault before. So all of a sudden your fees and even what kind of coverage you get is gonna be determined on your lifestyle, who you are. I mean, if you're part of a union, if you're part of a group of people, even an alumni from a university, you can get discounts if you're part of an association. So it's all who you know and all these kind of things, so it's all factored in. When it comes to the coverage, the hope that we have in Christ, he does not ask anything about where you've been, who do you know, what association you have. There's only one requirement that comes into your life and my life, and that is, do we have faith to believe? Romans 10:9 says, the only requirement is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart and that God has raised him from the dead. No. God, I can't have that kind of hope and coverage because I've had too many mistakes. God says, I don't look at your mistakes. I have the coverage for you right now. It's about your life now. And if you've repented of all those things, it's like they never were. But God, I don't have the same relationships that other people have. I didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't come from a church background. God, can I still have that same coverage? God says, for whosoever will. John 3:16, he says, my hope, my coverage is not based on anything about you, about your merit, about your earnings, about anything about you, male, female. It doesn't matter about your ethnic background. It doesn't matter about your job. It doesn't matter about anything to do with you, if you'll but believe. And that hope comes into our hearts and our lives, and it goes, wow, I'm fully covered, and I've got hope. I can go through life, not based on what my past was all about, but by my future in Christ. And that's the great hope that you and I have. I love what Peter says in Peter 1:3. It says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when we come to Christ, it's like a new birth, brand new. My past is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is not on the floor, on there, if any is born in Christ, if anybody, he's a new creation. old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we have this begotten into a new life. Then it goes on in Titus 3:7. It says, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs of the having the hope of eternal life. The hope we have has eternity connected to it. You know, I have to go for renewal. I don't know about you, but I have to go for renewal on my policy every year. I got to renew it. I got to go through all the sub clauses. And do I still want fire? Do I still want theft? Do I still want to have glass or no glass? Do I want to have a rider on it for being able to rent a vehicle if I'm in an accident or not? Do I want collision? I have to have PLPD. What are the other things? But with Christ, the coverage, the hope, it's eternal. It's got eternity attached to it. It's not just for today, it's for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day until we're with Christ. That's our hope. Our hope doesn't have to be renewed. We have it. He gives it to us. Colossians 1:27 says to them, talking about Old Testament believers, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, this salvation, this redemption among the Gentiles. Then he says this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My policy, my coverage, my hope is not in anything else but in Christ. And where is He? He's in me. Wherever I go, I carry it. Whatever circumstances I go, I have hope. If I go to the foreign fields, I've got hope. If I go to some difficult situation in life and struggling with my job, I've got hope inside of me. Wherever I go, I've got hope. I don't have to say, oh man, I left my hope at home. What am I going to do today? Quickly run home, get my hope, take my hope with me. I got to get to church and get my hope. I got to call the pastor, get the hope. No, I've got hope in me. You've got hope inside of you. Wherever you go, whatever difficulty, whatever situation, and you go, I'm anchored because I've got hope inside of me. That's what happens when we come to the relationship with Christ, and it's sure, it's steadfast. Now, when the winds of evil and wickedness and the currents begin to come around our lives, in our school, in our academics, or our job, or wherever, go, hey, I'm not moved. I'm not shaken. I'm not caught up in this because I've got a hope that's greater than all those things. And that's what Jesus gives to every one of us. What a hope. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not, listen to this, does not disappoint. You put your hope in the oil, you're going to get disappointed. It's in stocks and bonds, it's going to be disappointed. If you put it in your spouse, you're going to get disappointed. Your parents, your friends, anything. You'll get disappointed. But when your hope's in Christ, it's a hope that does not disappoint. Sometimes our own personal expectations aren't met, but ultimately the best is there for us through Christ. It's a hope that does not disappoint. All right, so here's the shift. You and I that have this hope, we're to be brokers of this hope. We're to take this hope that's in us and give it away, share it, be able to minister it into the lives of other people. Jesus said in Matthew 5, as he goes through the Beatitudes and the really manner in which we're to live life, he says two things. He says that we're called to be salt and light. You're the salt of this world, he says. Why? Because salt has these qualities in it that things that are dying, that are petrifying and losing its life, when salt is put on it, it preserves. Salt preserves. And you and I are what's to preserve, in a sense, bring to life this dying world. Then he says, you're the light of this world. Light breaks the darkness so that when people see the light that's in us, what do? They are drawn to us. They draw to us or to the light that's inside of us. And then 1 Peter 3:13 says this, that we're always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that's inside of you. Why do you have this hope? And you have an answer. Jesus, why is your marriage the way it is? And through the difficulties and through the losses, the difficulties of life, yet you guys are so happy together. You fought through it. You're not giving. You're not quitting. Why? I've got a hope. My spouse and I, we got a hope. We're going to get through this. And that hope becomes the answer. When people say, why you? You go, it's not me, it's Jesus. I have a hope. I have a hope that stays with me. Talked about Isaiah saying, talking about those that walk in darkness. He says this in Isaiah 60, verse 1. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of your Lord has risen upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth. And it says this, and the thick darkness. And really, as wickedness continues, darkness goes to a thick darkness. And it's talking about a heavy darkness that makes it hard to wake its way through. It's one thing to have darkness that you are still free to move. You're groping, you're making your way. But when it's a thick darkness, all of a sudden, you're stumbling. You're not too sure. You can't feel your way through. It's like a heaviness. And you just want to sit down because it's so heavy on you. It's a thick darkness. And it goes on, it says, the thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You individually, but he's talking to a nation, the church. You, the church, the pearl church. It says the light of God comes upon you. And because of that, those that are in darkness will be drawn to you individually and to the church. And I believe the Pearl Church is called to let God's glory rest on us, His light, so people that are in darkness will come to us. We become brokers of hope corporately. You in your homes and your community and your workplace, but in the church, we as the church are brokers of hope. There are people outside these walls that are not just in darkness, they're in that heavy darkness. It's a weighty darkness. It's a darkness that is thick over their lives. And you and I, as we move to the 22nd January into the theater, I'm believing for, though the light has already been on the Pearl Church, people that walk in or hear about us, they come and they get the sense of God's presence at the 22nd, that God, let your light dawn upon us. Let the rising of the sun be upon us, that people will see the glory of you and come and find hope. It's not about us. The 22nd is not about doing anything for us other than allowing us to grow, expand. Isaiah talks about a place, he says, you know, enlarge your tent, expand your curtains, stretch out the cords for gathering of people. And that's part of it. But I believe it's really ultimately, it's for God's glory. God, your glory be seen in the earth so people can come to it. How? Well, thank you for asking. How do we become brokers of hope? Let me give you four ways here, four practical ways. Number one, by sharing the good news. The good news is the lighting, as it were, of the candle of man. When the good news hits a person's life, they go, aha, what happens? Light rises up inside them. Hope comes in. So the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, the power of God to salvation in Romans 1:16 says, we share that good news. We proclaim the gospel when we have an opportunity. And I encourage you, learn the simple basics of what it is to tell the gospel message, who Jesus is, the Son of God that came to die for our sins, pay for the penalty of the judgment against us so we can be reconciled to God and have eternal life. Just be able to share basically the love of God to people. And we should be able to do that in our homes, with our children, with our spouse, but also with our neighbors. Hope is available to everyone, whosoever will. John 3:16. Secondly, it's by sharing our testimony, your testimony, not my testimony, not the church's testimony, not some famous Billy Graham's testimony, your testimony. And you go, well, I don't really have a testimony. I was raised in church. That's okay. You have a testimony that you didn't fall away from God. You've got a testimony that you went through the struggles of life and yet you remain pure, righteous. Maybe for some of you, you go, well, I had a testimony, but it's not like I really needed Jesus as a crutch. Well, yeah, you did, because we all had a sin in us that we had to get rid of somehow through Christ. You might not have that big testimony of drugs and jail and suicide or anything like that. And well, praise God, you didn't. But if you did, praise God, God healed you. God brought you through that. Every one of us has a testimony. And the greatest answer to any debate is not knowledge, it's experience. You cannot dismiss somebody's experience. And when you have had an experience with Jesus, that by far will outdo any debate of knowledge because it happened to you. So share that. Explain that. Thirdly, by living as light and salt. Simply live the life that Christ called you to live. Live with your head up as a believer. as a worshiper, as somebody who walks with righteousness and godliness, and you're seeking God, full of prayer, doing what you can just to live as a Christian, salt and light. And here's the thing for today, by serving in the house of God. Isaiah talks about the house. The glory will be upon the house, the corporate gathering, not just you individually, but by the house. And you and I are called to serve in the house. It's not my house. It's not my wife's house. It's not the leadership's house. It's our house. And like any family, when it's our house, we all pitch in. We all take the dishes to the dishwasher, right? Supposed to. We all set the table. Supposed to. We all enjoy the food. Supposed to. Why? Because we're family. We're in this together. So what do? We pitch in serving in the house together. So we can give of our time, our gifts, our finances, our talents to the house so that the house becomes attractive. I love my wife in the simplicity and what she does. She makes our house attractive. That when people come into our home, it's like, hey, this is a nice place. I appreciate that effort. She gets me to do a bunch of the work too, because she can't do it all, but it's together we make the house so people come in and go, oh, I love this house. And same with your house. Well, this house, this church house, is all of us making this house beautiful, adding our time, our talents, our gifts, whatever, to it. So there are a couple ways that are coming up for January 22nd. We put this out before, and many of you have responded, but we want to let the whole house know these three key areas of what's going on, that you can be involved. Some of you are involved, but we want to be able to just educate the whole house what's going on for the January 22nd, all right? So we've got three primary areas. We're going to just take about 5 minutes and just share this with you all so that you, if you're involved with it, you are aware of what's going to take place. But if you're not, you may want to be involved after you hear about this. So who wants to go first? Here we go.